Brian, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well. Ryan Rashog was watching the morning skate today and telling us about how Ben Bishop on the two-on-ones really wasn't pushing off at all. Everybody saw in the in the third period of the last game, him leave, come back, and then leave again, and clearly, seemed to struggle when he was getting up. He's got some sort of ailment down low. You want to go with your best guy. Will it 100% be John Cooper's decision? Does the GM, does Steve Yzerman give input? Like, obviously, I know the doctors give some input as well. But, how does this decision get made tonight for Tampa Bay?
Well, ultimately, it'll come down to the player. The players always want to play. But when you have an injury like this, and obviously in the goaltending position, it's not one where sometimes you can sneak by with a shoulder injury or a wrist or a hand. But not when you're playing goalie, not when you're the last line of defense. So I think ultimately Ben Bishop will decide. I think it's obviously a huge red flag when you see a player coming out of a game the way he did. So it's serious, maybe not necessarily long-term debilitating, but serious in the sense that he cannot play his position properly now. And when the athlete realizes that he's hurting the team, then it's something you have to take note of. So ultimately, I'm sure Steve Yzerman will meet with John Cooper, Tom Mulligan, their medical trainer, and then with the player, and collectively they'll make a decision. I'd be surprised if he plays tonight, but we'll see.
Victor Hedman has emerged as just an absolute beast of a defenseman. Right? He's got to be in the conversation, I would think, when this season's done, as maybe a top 10 defender in the league.
Yeah, Victor's really come a long way. I mean, when we drafted him, we felt good about Victor's eventual ability to be able to play. We kind of looked at him how Jay Bouwmeester was doing at the time. Jay was selected, obviously, by Florida way back when in the fourth position. Victor was selected second, but we just looked at him as a guy that would be able to absolutely give you big minutes, really move the puck. What surprised me about Victor is he's continued to improve and gain confidence offensively. We haven't heard much about that, certainly in this series, because he's doing an incredible job against Taves and Kane, which, as everyone knows, is not an easy task. But offensively is where I've been surprised. I thought Victor would eventually get up to the 45, maybe 50-point range. To see him close to 60 and dominating games the way he has in the regular season this year and in the playoffs has really been a lot of fun to watch.
Well, very much so. Really emerging as a force, excellent skater, a good puck mover, and it helps when you're that big and that mobile. Now it changes back to Chicago, Brian, and Joe Quenneville gets last change. What do you think is going to be his number one priority on matchups tonight?
I believe wholeheartedly that he'll end up splitting up Taves and Kane. For tonight, I think he'll throw some different looks. I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to that at some point. Joel is an excellent bench coach. He absolutely has a great feel for getting in the flow of how the other team is deploying their players and being one step ahead. He's a little bit like Jacques Lemaire was in that way. And, if truth be told, these guys have a great feel themselves. But nowadays, if you watch on the benches, you'll see that third coach really watching the other team, trying to get a read on literally who they're tapping up next, and then communicating that with the head coach, and then the head coach is processing it very quickly. The one thing that, is so different from being a general manager, you're always watching from up high. Occasionally you'll get down in a suite in the mid-range, but most of the time you're watching from the very top, and you lose a little bit of the speed and the quickness, but you get a great eye in the sky, so to speak, as to read the flow of the game. The coaches don't have that. When they're down at ice level, it's really amazing what the top guys do in this league, and there's lots of them. But having played the game and then having been down there and just kind of watched how the top coaches really work, it's impressive. Joel Quenneville's one of them. I would give him the edge over John Cooper, certainly in this category, and I expect him to find a couple of areas to exploit tonight for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Patrick Sharp has almost become like a second thought in Chicago right now. He hasn't done much for the last two series.
No, he really hasn't, and that's been a little bit of Patrick's MO, but, you know, he's just a real streaky player. He's an excellent player. The future is probably a little clouded for a guy like Patrick with the Chicago Blackhawks. I think that's one of the first guys they'll make available. I think it'll actually be a fairly easy transition. I think Patrick Sharp at some point can see the Teravainens. And really the plethora of kids that the Chicago Blackhawks are, you know, trying to acquire and get into their lineup so that they can support with the salary cap some of their, you know, their big signings. I mean, obviously they went all in on Kane and Taves, Seabrook and Keith. You know, at least those guys are more palatable. Corey Crawford at $6 million. Depending on what happens with the cap, it's going to be a little bit of wash, rinse, and repeat for the Chicago Blackhawks, where, you know, we watched him move Andrew Ladd and Dustin Byfuglien out after a championship, and I think you're going to see a similar move by the Blackhawks this summer again.
If you're Steve Yzerman, put on your old GM hat for a second. Steven Stamkos, on July 1st, you could start negotiating for next season. I know there's free agents, but Tampa doesn't really have much cap space or much need to really add any. You'd be looking at a long-term contract for Steven Stamkos sooner than later, and do you think he re-signs in Tampa?
Up until these playoffs, I would have probably said 100%. This is going to be probably a little bit more dicey than people realize, and mostly because there's just been a few instances where, you know, Steven obviously playing the wing prefers to play center. Steven also thinks of himself, and rightly so, as the top forward on the team because, mm-hmm. you know, he's pretty much been that since the moment he walked in. He certainly was behind Marty St. Louis when he started, but, you know, even Marty would come to me at times and say, this guy's unbelievable. He could do things that people can't imagine. For whatever reason, he has not played maybe as much as he might like, and this would only be speculation, but that's going to be a challenging one for the Lightning. I think Steve Yzerman will get it done in the end. I think he's very cagey when it comes to this stuff. I think he has personal experience that he's dealt with it when he changed his game, you know, maybe backing down from the offensive dynamo that he was into more of a team player. Now, those are the types of conversations I think he's going to have with Stamkos. I'd be shocked if they didn't want to get him signed immediately to a long-term deal. I just think right now there's a little bit of chaos in the market. And again, you know, fans don't want to hear about it, but it all comes back to the salary cap. And I have no doubt whatever the Tampa Bay Lightning pay Steven Stamkos or try to pay him, there's somebody out there that would pay him more.
Yeah, it's usually how it happens. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at Stamkos and you know, he's playing fewer minutes per game in the playoffs than he did in the regular season, and that rarely happens for your top guys. Usually your top guys end up playing more in the postseason.
They really do, and to be fair to Steven, having watched him play, obviously, a tremendous amount since he came into the league, he is playing a little bit different game. He's playing a heavier game for him, something that, you know, he really didn't associate with. I can remember meeting with Steven his first year and saying, all right, Stammer, at some point here, I really want you just to drop the gloves with somebody. Just get it over with. You're not going to be a killer in this league, but, you know, let people know you're going to defend yourself. And sure enough, he fought Zhirdev from the Rangers and actually did really well. It didn't seem like anything that bothered him, so I always knew he would be comfortable playing physical and even fighting if he had to. I don't think it's something he should be doing or wanted to do. But it certainly didn't bother him. Watching him in this playoffs has been really eye-opening. I think it's brought his game to another level just by bringing the physicality that he has. He absolutely ran some guys over, obviously, against the Rangers and in other series. But I think it's been a great leadership move for Steven. I think the rest of the guys, when they see that, I think they jump on board. And it's part of the reason why they've had such success. The flip side of that is it takes a lot of energy out of you. And there's no doubt that that has played into why Steven has played fewer minutes in the playoffs.
Brian Lawton joins us talking NHL playoffs and such. Blashill is going to be announced as the head coach for Detroit, most likely. Everybody's predicting that. You know, you replace a guy like Mike Babcock. And, you know, especially when Datsyuk's getting older and Zetterberg's getting older, Cronwall's older, Lidstrom's gone. You know, it's a different time than when Babcock took over the reins as the head coach when, you know, Lidstrom was still great and Datsyuk and Zetterberg were just coming into their prime. Is how do you... Do you have to have more patience as a GM knowing that, you know, this guy is not inheriting the same team that Mike Babcock inherited?
Yeah, I think you do, absolutely. The one thing about Jeff that's interesting is he's really taken on a lot of Mike's mannerisms and characteristics and traits. They've worked together. That's one thing that the Red Wings do, in my opinion, better than anybody else, is they have that constant communication and coordination between their minor league team and their NHL team. Mike Babcock really took an interest in that. It's difficult for head coaches because they're so busy with what's going on up top, but Mike was excellent at it. He's a leader by nature. He's a teacher. And I see Jeff, you know, I watched a video today that the Red Wings had put out when they were doing kind of their version of 24/7 like the Oilers do. And he really reminded me a lot of Mike with a lot of his mannerisms and just the way he was handling the troops, so to speak. I think he's going to do tremendous, quite frankly. I think it's a great hire by the Red Wings. I do agree with you that you're going to have to be a little bit more patient. Mike Babcock was the first person to say, you know, he was fortunate to have some guys carry him around on his back, certainly in the early years. I know that's partly Mike being modest, but it's also partly true, and Jeff is not going to have that benefit when he starts.
We are the combine just finished up, and you know, it's becoming a bigger event every year. How much stock, when you were GMs, did you and your scouting staff put into the combine, or more, what were the things you were hoping to get out of the combine?
As far as a weighted percentage, the combine is far inferior to what your scouts are bringing to you at that time of the year. You're really looking to confirm or deny some things that you have seen in your report, some things that you believe in for the kids. For me personally, I like to really, and I told the guys, I like to have about 5 to 7 minutes with the kids to ask some different questions. I've interviewed thousands of people at this stage in my life and running the different companies I've run. And I found it really important. It really gave you a look into who the person was. I always look for similar things. This is not hockey speak, Jason. This is more business speak.
Yep.
You know, I like to look at people's past histories, their families, things like that. It was really critical for me to get a comfort level. But ultimately, it does not shift the draft list a tremendous amount. I don't think there's a lot of teams that dramatically change their list coming out of the combine. With that said, this is a huge leap forward, in my opinion, what the National Hockey League and the Buffalo Sabres did this year, moving the combine into the arena in Buffalo, just upgrading everything they do is, I think, just the first step in what's going to be a really interesting time as the National Hockey League continues to improve this and take it to a higher level. So this was a great year, and I look forward to great things in the future as the combine only gets better and better.
You get more, as every organization gets those 15 or 20-minute interviews with kids. Did you ever unearth anything that changed your mind significantly either way? I said, wow, this kid really impressed us, now he's going up the draft board, or this kid really disappointed us, he's going down.
I did, and I'll use some names, but I won't use total names. I remember when we interviewed John Moore, who was drafted. I can't remember what pick in the first round.
Yeah, he was 12th overall, I think.
I would say 12th overall to Columbus. He was the smartest player we ever interviewed, I would say, by far, which was very, very interesting. You know, generally, the American kids that are really great students end up in college. He, at the time, of course, was playing in junior. There also were other times where you really came to the conclusion that there hasn't been much worldliness or education for young men, and I won't use names on that side, but yeah. you did see those real extremes in players, and I can distinctly remember one player that I just thought really, was like a fish out of water in his interview. He's gone on and played the National Hockey League, and he's done some nice things. So you can't draw too many conclusions from it, but it is a chance to kind of get to know the young men a little bit better. You hear about them all year long in these meetings. You've got your boots on the ground, your people all over the place, all year long tracking these kids and hopefully doing the type of due diligence that gives you a better insight as to who they are character-wise. And then to get a chance to meet them, well, that's kind of the crown jewel when you get to the combine, and it really is a critical time for getting to know the kids, but it's not going to move where they've been rated for the most part.
When you have those conversations with young players, how much interviewing do you do with their family members, like parents?
Well, at the combine, I can't say none, because we met with one player's family. Of course, when we took Hedman, we had the second pick. So, we had targeted three players at the time, Tavares, Hedman, and Duchesne. We wanted to get one of those players. Everybody kind of had Johnny, I think, across the league at the end of the day as the consensus number one. So did we at that time. It really came down to Matt and Victor, and both these guys were so impressive. But we did get a chance to meet one of the group's family members while we were there, but that was more abnormal. You don't generally do that. But what does happen, again, is your boots on the ground in the local regions. That was part of the criteria that we had. I actually met Matt Duchesne's parents at a game when we were in seeing him and got a chance to spend a little bit of time with them. But that's what our scouts were supposed to be doing all year long. And you could find those things in the report. And we always, again, these are just business traits, but the apple generally didn't fall too far from the tree with a lot of the players. So it was also an important component to make sure you do your homework though.
Brian, always great stuff to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of the Cup.
Thank you, Jason. Really looking forward to it.